It's great to be in the house of the Lord this morning, and even greater to see a practically full house. Amen. It's always good to speak to more people than seats. I mean, don't get me wrong, speaking to the seats is fine too, but it's always good to see people. We're going to continue, I'll call it a series of messages just to be consistent. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit, and this would be the third message. The first one was the personhood of the Holy Spirit, just try to establish that the Holy Spirit is not just a force or an idea or a figment of someone's imagination, but a real person coexisting with the Father and the Son in what we call the Godhead. Some people call it the Trinity. I came to stop using that term because we were in a church that if you say Trinity, that means you believe in three gods. Well, we know that's not true, but that's what they said. And then the second message was the first was the personhood. What was the second one? The symbols. Well, some people were paying attention. The symbols used in the scripture, because every time the scripture talked about refer to the Holy Spirit, didn't always say the Holy Spirit. There were several symbols used, including oil, water, wind, and fire, etc. And today, we're going to look at the acts, some of the acts of the Holy Spirit, not the acts of the apostles, but the acts of the Holy Spirit, some of the things he does in us and through us. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come this morning, Lord, committing this time to you, Lord. I pray, Father, that your word will go forth with power and with anointing this morning. I pray for strength. I pray, Lord, for clarity of voice and vision. I pray, Lord, that our hearts will be fertile soil, that your word will fall upon that soil and not only grow but bear fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. The acts of the Holy Spirit, and we'll just dive right into them this morning. Number one, the Holy Spirit teaches us things about God and ourselves. And one thing, those of you that have been paying attention and taking notes, you'll see some of the same scriptures that we use in either one of the first two messages in the series. John chapter 14 and verse 26. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Jesus is speaking here to his disciples while he still walked this earth, and is telling them of things to come. And he said, the Counselor. And then he defined the Counselor as the Holy Spirit, whom the Father, God the Father, will send in my name. Remember, he had told them at another time that while he was here, the Comforter, which was used in that scripture, would not come, but after he left and ascended to heaven, there will come another one after him who will teach them, the disciples, and by extension, us, all things. Teach us not only things that he had already said, not only remind us about things that he had already taught And he remember, he's speaking to his disciples. But also teach us and illuminate things that we read in the scripture or we hear about God. Amen? I don't know about you, but some of us who have been believers for a long time, we've heard and we've read the scriptures, probably not as much as we should, but read the Bible cover to cover several times and through different studies. But one particular time, you pick up a scripture and you read it, and the light bulb just goes on. And you wonder, why haven't I seen this before? Amen? It's not that we're so smart. We are, but it's that the Holy Spirit is reminding us and trying to teach us something deeper about God. Something deeper about ourselves. That's the hard part for a lot of us. We try to resist being taught more about ourselves because we're afraid of what we're going to see and what we're going to find out. Amen? But the scripture says he will teach you all things. All things. And remind you of everything I have said to you. The second act of the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit tells the truth. John 15 and 26. When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. Now let's establish the scripture. It says, not the scripture, I said the Holy Spirit tells the truth. Which, when we say the truth, it presupposes that there is only one truth. There's not your truth, mine truth, whatever we makes us feel good today is the truth. That's not the truth we're talking about, not the one the culture teaches. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And then the culture was, oh, that's too exclusive. That's not fair. Please, let's not ask God to be fair. The results would not be good for us. Amen? Jesus said he's the way, the truth, and the life. There is only one truth, and that's God's truth. Jesus said he will come from the Father. Did I sound like Mr. Biden just? Oh, no. Whom I will send from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. So we know that Jesus lived on this earth as a man, 100% God, 100% man, but he lived a perfect, sinless life. Amen? The scripture also says that he was tempted in all manner like we are, yet without sin. Because you know, it's easy in our minds when we try to rationalize things and try to justify our own actions. Oh, well, you know, he was God, so I mean, it was easy for him. No, it wasn't. It wasn't. He experienced emotions just like we do, yet without sin. So the Holy Spirit reminds us and will teach us and will tell us what the truth is, will help us sift the truth from the lies. One of the greatest tricks of the enemy is to take the truth and just inject, I would call it, for lack of a better term, a small lie. Well, anything mixed up with the truth makes it a lie. Amen? And so if we, and Pastor Aaron reminded us about this a few weeks ago, that if we don't know what the truth is, then we will fall for the lie. And that's one of the acts of the Holy Spirit, if we allow him to work in our lives, is to remind us of what the truth is. Amen. The Holy Spirit, number three, the Holy Spirit guides. John chapter 16 and verse 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. So the Holy Spirit was sent. I mean, we've used so many terms: counselor, teacher, guide, comforter. He will, the scripture says that we just read, he will guide us into all truth. He will remind us, in fact, what is truth and what is a lie. But guess what? He will not force us to walk into that truth. He will not force us. He will guide us gently. He will remind us. But in the end, we have to decide to walk into that truth. Amen? God had the choice of creating robots. If he chose to, he chose to create man and give us a free will, because he wanted us to want to fellowship with him, to want to dwell in his presence. Amen? That's why he gave us a free will. So the Holy Spirit is there to guide us, but he will not force us. Now, sometimes when we don't listen to his guidance, we get into certain circumstances and situations that have the tendency to whack us on the head with a 2x4. And then that gets our attention, right? So God wants us to want to follow him, to choose to follow him, to listen to the gentle nudging and voice of the Holy Spirit. Amen? He will guide us. So he teaches us, he tells us the truth, and he guides us. Number four, the Holy Spirit convicts. John chapter 16 and verse 8. When he comes, again, Jesus speaking of the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. The Holy Spirit convicts. So he's there to teach us. He's there to guide us. Right? He's there to tell us what the truth is. But he's also there to remind us when we've gone away from the truth. Convict is a good word, but it's kind of strong. But that's what it is. He's there to convict us when we have gone off path, when we have strayed from the path that God has ordained for us to follow, when we have willfully chosen not to listen to him, to disregard his guidance, and have stepped off our path and sinned. So every time we become aware of willful sin in our lives, or even unwillful, it's because of the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Amen? It's because the Holy Spirit has put his finger on something and reminded us of our sin. And that's one of the acts that he does, because God does not desire for us to continue on a path that's moving away from him. Amen? Whenever we stray, he wants us to come back into the fold. And the picture is beautifully illustrated with the sheep that have gone astray. You know, if you have 99 or 101 goes astray, you go after that one because you want to keep them together. That's the same way God looks at us. He doesn't want us to go astray. He wants us to remain part of his flock, part of his kingdom, part of his church, part of his body of believers here on earth. Amen? Number five, the Holy Spirit prays for us. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans and words that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. What does the passage say? The passage says sometimes we may be so burdened, so distraught, so overwhelmed with whatever circumstances we're going through that we can't even begin to get out the words to say what we want to say. That sometimes we have prayed everything that has come into our minds and we are at our wit's end. And then the Spirit is interceding on our behalf with groans. Sometimes we're just there and can't open our mouths. But that doesn't mean that we're not in communion with God, because the Spirit is interceding on our behalf. The Scripture also says sometimes we don't even know what we need to pray for. Sometimes we don't even know what we need to pray for. But the Holy Spirit is there to help us. I don't know about you, but sometimes you're praying and people and situations just flash across your mind or poured into your spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. Pray for that person. You may not even know what's going on in that person's life, but God knows, and the Spirit knows. And in those times, we need to be obedient and not let that opportunity pass. Amen? So the Holy Spirit teaches, tells the truth, guides, convicts. The Holy Spirit prays for us. The Holy Spirit, number six, the Holy Spirit commands. Acts 13 and verse 2. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Remember, Jesus said he was here and then he will go, but then there was another coming after him. Now, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. I'm not saying it's not possible to hear an audible voice of God himself. Some people have claimed to have heard that. I haven't, but what we will more likely often hear is the nudging and the voice of the Holy Spirit. And in this instance, he's telling the disciples to set apart Paul, Barnabas, and Saul. He was still Saul at that time, for the work for which he had called them. This was one instance, but there's other instances in Scripture where the Holy Spirit tells us, told the people of old and still telling us today things that we need to know and to do. Number 7, the Holy Spirit gives joy. Luke 10 and 21. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. It is because of the Holy Spirit living in us that we're able to have joy in our hearts and in our lives, even when outward circumstances seem to dictate that we should be in despair and sorrow and discouragement and such. People ask, how can you have joy when all this is going on around you? And a lot of those questions tend to confuse the term joy with the term happiness. Happiness depends on your circumstances and your situation. Joy is derived from God and His Spirit, which lives within us. Because no matter what, no matter what's going on around us, we know without the shadow of a doubt that this is not how the story ends. Amen? We know that no matter what we go through, that there's victory at the end. That we have an assurance of spending eternity with our Lord and Savior. So we're not, we may be down for a while, but we get up again. We may be kicked around, but we stand up again and keep pressing forward. Because we have the joy of the Lord. And the scriptures say the joy of the Lord is what? It's our strength. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6. You became imitators of us and of the Lord in spite of severe suffering. You welcomed the message with a joy given by the Holy Spirit. In spite of severe suffering, they welcome the message because of what? The joy given by the Holy Spirit. Number 8, the Holy Spirit directs us in the way of godliness. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 21. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 27 and 28. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. So both of these passages are from the Old Testament. Remember, we established in the first message that the Holy Spirit was at work even in the Old Testament. He guides. Remember, we already said that he guides. This is the way, walk in it. So if when we try to turn to the right or to the left, he redirects us to the path that we should be walking on. And then God has spoke to the prophet, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, in my word, in my way. And you will keep my judgments. Judgment is another term used for my word. And do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. The Holy Spirit directs us to stay in the calling that God has called us in. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 through 14. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. There is a difference in the scriptures between being baptized with the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit, as we see in the New Testament. All believers are baptized with the Spirit as part of the conversion experience. Once we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the scripture says the Spirit comes to live within us. 1 Corinthians 12:12-13 states, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit." So the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, comes to live within us at the time we accept Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. Amen? But the scripture also speaks of another dimension, and that's what we read in Ephesians 1. 13 through 14. And the passage, the phrase I want us to see there, in having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So when the Holy Spirit comes to live within us, he seals the deal. But let's go to Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Jesus, before he left, commanded them to wait somewhere for the promise, right? And they were all at this place and worshiping God. And the scripture says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I would propose to you that they already had the Spirit living within them because they were already followers of Jesus. Amen? But they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And in fact, the people around them thought they were inebriated. They were drunk with wine. No, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And something interesting happened after that. Peter, the mouthy one of Jesus' disciples, he had been pretty timid up to this point. He had, as Jesus had predicted, he had three times denied that he was one of his or that he knew him. Amen? But after this experience, he became a different guy. And he preached, and he had a boldness about him that he didn't have before. Now, you can tell it what it is. But I will tell you from my own experience, right? I received Jesus as my Savior when I was in the 10th grade at age 14. And I was on fire for a little while. And then I graduated high school and moved away to college. And my life took on a different trajectory. And I launched out into the deep end and wandered in the wilderness for many years until I was 32 years old and walked in this church and gave my life to the Lord and was baptized and miraculously received the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And my life has never been the same. I'm still not perfect by a long shot. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to see me through to the end. Amen? They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 4:29-31. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Gone was the timidity, gone was the fear. they spoke the word of God with boldness. I'll have the worship team come up, please. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You see, God wants us to be filled with His Spirit. Jesus, when He taught on this earth, told a parable, and He cast out some demons. And when the demons were cast out, one of the disciples asked him, so what happens now? He said, well, if you don't do anything with them, demons worse than them will come and take their place, more than them. Why? God wants us not to have a void. You see, he wants things that are not according to His will out of our lives, but then He doesn't want us empty. He wants that void filled with His Spirit, because He will teach us. He will guide us. He will remind us about the calling that God has on our lives. He will convict us of sin when we have strayed off the path of God. He helps us in our prayers. In fact, He will outright pray for us and make intercession with the Father on our behalf. Sometimes we don't even know we need to pray, but that's why we have the Spirit. He will help us to fulfill the calling of God for our lives. How many of you know that God saved us for a purpose? Amen? Each and every one of us has a purpose for the kingdom that God has called us and equipped us with everything we need to fulfill that purpose. Amen? So that we are without excuse. He's given us His Word. He's given us His Spirit. He's given us teachers. And He continues to be faithful. He continues to call us back when we stray off track. He continues to lift us up when we fall. He continues to forgive us of our sins when we sin against Him. Amen. He continues to comfort us when we're in sorrow, because His Spirit dwells within us. Amen. Please stand.
What a great and important reminder of the Holy Spirit's work in our life. Amen. You know, I'm often struck by, you know, my own arrogance and my own self, but how we can often, as a church, and look at the Old Testament, especially the Exodus and the Israelites, and say, how could they wander? How could they do what they did? How could they just forget all that God did, all the miracles they saw God do? And you know, do you ever think that maybe they would look at us and say, how could you guys wander? You have the very Spirit of God living inside of you, making His home with you. How could you guys wander? But we so often do. But praise God that we have the Holy Spirit. Praise God that the Holy Spirit guides us, that the Holy Spirit teaches us truth, that the Holy Spirit leads us where He wants us to go. If only we would listen to Him. I loved what Pastor Henry said. He will guide us. He will lead us. But it's a gentle guidance. We have to take the step. We have to do what He's actually calling us to do. And if we do, man, it's so incredible. It's so incredible where God will lead us. The purpose and the plan that He has for us. We may not know what's going on. We may not know why He's leading us in certain directions. But He knows. And we can take hope and we can have we can have hope that He knows where He wants to lead us and where He is leading us. Trust the Holy Spirit. Believe in the Holy Spirit. If you are a Christian, if you call on Christ, the very Spirit of God lives inside of you. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this word. We thank You for this reminder, Lord. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, Lord, that makes its home with us. You dwell with us, Lord, and that's such an amazing gift. That's such an amazing gift, Lord. And Lord, we just look forward to the day that we get to spend eternity with You. But Lord, we just pray that as we live on this earth, that You would lead us, that You would guide us in the way that You want us to go, Lord. Help us to be a light in this dark, dark world, Lord. Help us to be a light to the people around us. Help us to walk in Your Holy Spirit, to show love, to show mercy, to show truth to the world that needs to hear it so desperately. And Lord, we just pray that we would take this message and apply it to our lives, that we would walk out of these doors and not forget what You have said to us, but that we would apply it to our lives, Lord. We just thank You so much again. We thank You so much again for Your Son that made a way for us, that made a way for us to spend eternity with You, to have a relationship with You. And Lord, we just pray that You bless us now with Your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.